What do the... Let's move across. What do all of these things have in common? They are all small but powerful. Chilies embody this principle, don't they? If you've got a big chili, you can happily eat it. When they a little bit small, you get a bit worried. A few years ago, when I worked at Hope, we got the hottest chili you could buy in Britain. And had it, and we had a bit of fun with it. And Morgan, who worked in the office, he saw it on the side, and he would say, you know, oh, I can eat hot chilies. And he literally ate this whole thing in his mouth. His eyes glazed over. He was in real trouble. It was not a pretty sight, but it was good fun. We all know how dangerous a virus can be now, don't we? We don't even see it, but it is incredibly powerful. Ants can lift 5,000 times their body weight. Can you believe that? 5,000 times their body weight. And Switzerland, it's a very small country, but in the terms of economics, it has a huge impact on our world. We're going to look at this principle this morning, how God's kingdom works on this principle about small but powerful. I've called this morning's message the least and the yeast. And this morning, I believe that God wants to speak to us. I believe that God wants to align our hearts to what his kingdom is about and our expectations. But I also believe God really wants to encourage each and every one of us where we are as we seek to live for him. We're going to turn to Matthew 13 again, and we're only reading four verses this morning from verse 31. I'm just going to grab a drink. Okay. So it says this. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make a nest in its branches." He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven, so it's got the version on. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour till it was all leavened. All these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. "I will open my mouth in parables, and I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world." Before we look at this passage, I want to look at this term, the kingdom of heaven. This is a term that Matthew uses in his gospel, and it's synonymous with the kingdom of God. If you're speaking about the kingdom of heaven, it's also the kingdom of God. And Matthew used the term kingdom of heaven because he was writing to a Jewish audience. And the Jews had such reverence for the name of God that they wouldn't even speak it. So by speaking the kingdom of heaven, it was something that was easier for them to listen to. But they knew what was going on. But the kingdom of heaven is about God's rule and reign. Now, earthly kings often consider their rule in the sense of geographical area or people who are under their sort of dominion. And at times in history, it is very sad that the kingdom of God has been seen in these senses. There's even a film called The Kingdom of Heaven, which shows how this has been played out in history. And it's left scars on nations. Even struggles that we know are going on today have been made worse by the way that the kingdom of God has been sought to be brought about by mainly Western Christians. But from the prophetic books, Israel had this hope that God's reign would be effective over the whole earth. And they saw within this hope that Israel as a nation would experience victory over their enemies and a sort of increase of status. But God's kingdom is never about military might and conquest of lands, but about God's rule and reign in people's hearts. When Jesus spoke about the kingdom, there was these two tensions, now and not yet. A present reality. Jesus said to them, the kingdom of God is among you. It's here, because Jesus was there. But there's also a future consummation. That when Jesus did the Last Supper and he instigated the communion, he said, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. There was a future kingdom that was coming. And sometimes some of the tensions we have in theology is between what we have now and what is to come, and what we experience now and what we're waiting for. The consummation of the kingdom will be when everybody will come to see the rule and reign of Jesus Christ. Everyone. There will be judgment for those who do not believe. And there will be that all eyes will see. There will be God reigning from east to west across the world. There will be the new heavens and the new earth. Jesus taught his disciples to pray for the kingdom, to seek it. Jesus said, even a few chapters before in Matthew, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, all the things that we worry about, that we're concerned about, that we need, all of those things will be added to you. Our priority should be his kingdom. And in verses 34 to 35 in our passage, we see that there's this fulfillment of prophecy. And this is from Psalm 78. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world. It's about revelation. Jesus was bringing revelation. And this is from Psalm 78, where Asaph is speaking to the people of Israel about the history of Israel. He's speaking to them and teaching them to learn from what has happened in the past. God's saving acts, and to encourage them to hold on fast. And what we see throughout the Bible is we see that God works in interesting and unexplained ways. And even through times where things seem to be going badly, God is still at work. Even as Israel is exiled, God is still at work. So what can we learn here? Well, there's three things I want to say. The kingdom will start small. Both a mustard seed, I haven't got any with me this morning, both a mustard seed and leaven are small. The mustard seed was one of the smallest seeds used in agriculture in Israel. But from such small beginnings would grow quite a large bush. But the thing about mustard seeds is they don't need to be buried to grow. They can germinate just sitting on top of the soil. A bit like cress. You know, when you at school you bring home your cress and you just put it on top of anything that's wet and it grows. Mustard seeds are a little bit like that. And in the same way, yeast or leaven is tiny in comparison to the other ingredients that you use. We'll move on from that. Once you put your leaven or your yeast in the flour, you can't even see it. Once you mixed it in, you can't see it. Where's it gone? It's disappeared. But it's at work. And where God's people were expecting, the Israel and the Jews at the time were expecting this big visible kingdom. They were expecting the Romans to be sent home with their tails between their legs. They were expecting this. Jesus says, it's going to start small. And it's important for us to realise that God's kingdom is often at work in the small things. As soon as the mustard seed is planted, growth is inevitable. It will happen. It's in the DNA of the seed. It will happen. It may take time, but it's irreversible. And the same is true of yeast. As soon as it's in the flour, it's going to start growing. You can't stop it. You can, I suppose, if you put it in the freezer, but you know. I believe it's helpful for us to just think of that. We're a smaller church, but God is still at work amongst us. God is still at work in the small things. And the work that he's begun will come to fruition. R.T. France, who's a Bible commentator, said these parables both speak of a small, barely perceptible beginning which results in spectacular transformation. Second thing, the kingdom is for outsiders. Jesus was speaking to the crowds who understood more about plants than many of us do here. And the mustard seed doesn't grow into a tree. It grows into sort of a bush, really. It's an annual plant. So what was Jesus saying? If you have been with us for the past 6 months, you may remember when we looked at Daniel, and we looked at Daniel 4, and we looked at this big tree in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. He had this vision of the tree where the birds and animals found their homes within the tree. And Nebuchadnezzar told, this tree is you. But the birds in these visions relate to the nations. The nations who found their shelter and home in Nebuchadnezzar's empire, which went across lands. And now Jesus is saying that his kingdom is going to start small, but that all of the nations are going to find their home in this kingdom. It's going to grow exponentially bigger, even bigger than we could ask or imagine. The seed is going to not become a bush, it's going to become a tree that the birds can find their homes in. The kingdom that Jesus was bringing in was not just to be about Israel and the Jewish nation, it would be about all nations. That promise that God made to Abraham in Genesis 12, right at the beginning of our Bibles, in you all nations will be blessed. All nations would come to be blessed through Jesus. So today, if you feel like you're more of an outsider, if you feel unworthy, you're in the right place. Jesus came to save those who were lost. He said, those who are well do not need a doctor, but those who are ill do. Jesus came to rescue those who were lost, those who were hurting, those who felt outside of society. And this parable speaks of a place of sanctuary, doesn't it? A nest is a place of sanctuary for a bird. A place where you can find a home. And that's what Jesus came to give each and every one of us, a home with him. And we're going to see that more as we look at some of the other parables. We're going to see how Jesus spoke of actually how his kingdom was going to reach out beyond Israel. Finally, the work of the kingdom is often hidden. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour, till it was all leavened. Now to us, 3 measures of flour, what does that mean? Well, I'll tell you what that means. 27 kilos or 60 pounds of flour. Has anyone ever made a loaf of bread that big? No. I can remember someone, when we were at Bromley Common Baptist Church, a guy at the church who lived there, he used to be involved in a bakery that was near, I think it was near the hospital. And he had a picture of them making the world record longest piece of bread, which he'd done many years ago. I don't know whether they used 27 kilos of flour. And he used to make, every harvest, he'd make this loaf that looked like, barley sort of all gathered together. It was brilliant. But Jesus wants to draw our attention to the significance of the kingdom. The significant impact of the kingdom. This is not a small loaf of bread. God is going to do something incredible. Now, I've got here, you may have noticed this morning, Peter was getting very confused playing his guitar. What's going on? What's Dave making? Now, you may notice, I've actually got some flour here this morning. I've discovered making pizza bases from scratch recently, and they're amazing. Now, what's different about these flours? One has got yeast and one hasn't. Which one do you think has yeast? This one? This is number one and this is number two. What do you think? Two. Everyone go for two. Okay, you're right. But we've actually got them here. So I need a volunteer. I've heard Amy's very good at volunteering at these things. Although we might have to be a bit careful. I'll put some here. Some flour. Okay. Right, Amy. I'll move out of the way in a minute. Right. You can just just pick them up and just, you know, knead them a bit or whatever, and we can see the difference. So that's nice and soft, isn't it? You sort of feel like, hey, this pizza will be all right. Now try the other one. That's more like a gluten-free pizza, basically. I have to make them, and I'll tell you what, they're not much fun. And they don't look that much different when they were first made. They don't look too different. But actually, once they've risen and once you start to touch them, they are so different. Absolutely, you can stop if you want. I could leave you there all morning. I used half a teaspoon of yeast in that. Half a teaspoon in that. And the difference is just amazing. And Jesus wants us to understand what happens in his kingdom, that often it's unseen. It's a small amount, but often it's unseen, the work that is going on. And I want you to think about that. When you have a nice loaf of bread, when you have a nice pizza base, you think, just remember, God's kingdom's at work in the unseen. God's kingdom's at work with each and every one of you. As you go about your normal life, God's kingdom's at work. As you act differently from those around you, God's kingdom is at work. And it's unseen. And that's... earlier this year, we recommended a book called Scattered Servants. And as we go from this place, and as we go about our weeks, we go and meet different people. Margaret meets different people to me. Grace meets different people to Liz. We all meet different people, and we go as witnesses, and we go as spirit-empowered believers out into those places, and we bring about transformation by our presence and by living those kingdom values out as we're there. That's what God wanted to do, as he empowered each one by the Spirit and sent them out. So we need Christians. My job is no more important than your job or your function in life. Mine is no more important, because we need good Christians who work in IT. We need good Christians who are teachers. We need Christian actors. We need Christians in politics. We need Christians in the local shop. We need Christians everywhere, because we're to bring about transformation in society. We need Christians who are out of work, who go down to the job centre and meet people who are also out of work. We need Christians who are retired, who are in the shops when others aren't, and see the workers when they're feeling rubbish on a Tuesday morning. And you act differently from others around. You show care. So when you show kindness to a colleague or a neighbour that no one else can be bothered with, you're bringing about that transformation of the gospel. And who knows what change that will bring in that person's life. This is what we're called to do. We're called to be that yeast in amongst the dough that makes the difference, that brings about change and transformation. And that's what we're here as a church. We're here to bring change and transformation to the Ramsden Estate. We're here to be that yeast in amongst all of the dough and bring change. And I believe God wants to encourage you today. He wants to encourage you as you seek to live for him. Sometimes you may think, you know what, I find it really hard to talk about my faith. Or, you know, I keep looking for an opportunity, but it never comes. Keep living as God's called you to live, and those opportunities will come. Keep seeking to be the yeast, to be different in amongst those who aren't different. What we do as we live out our faith may not seem to be a big thing at times, but even just being there and just living out those kingdom values makes a difference, and we're starting to bring about transformation in the yeast. Maybe in your workplace you could think about starting a prayer meeting, asking God to make a change, to bring about a transformation where you work. Especially at times when seasons, when things get very negative at work, and you feel like you could just get caught up in it, and you just get carried away with the negativity because it's so hard. But then you think, hold on, I'm called here. I'm called to make a difference. How can I make a difference? Jesus told his disciples, you are the light of the world? You. Jesus also said that I am the light of the world. He said it about himself, but then he said to his disciples, you are the light of the world. You are the light. You're a city on a hill. You're the ones that are going to shine and show God's glory. So the kingdom of heaven is like a tiny mustard seed which grows into a place where birds can make their nests. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven hidden in 27 kilos of flour till all was leaven, till it was transformed. The beginnings of Jesus' life were insignificant. There's no room for him. He was born in amongst the animals. And he lived most of his life not in the capital city, but in Nazareth. They said, oh, he's a Nazarene. Where does he come from? Why should we listen to him? And although at times the crowds gathered him, they quickly dispersed as soon as he was arrested. He was crucified outside the city walls next to common and criminals. He was condemned. Yet through his death, like a plant that dies and its seeds sink into the ground, Jesus was enabling the next phase of mission and multiplication. What Jesus began to do was going to gather pace as he rose from the dead. Those who deserted him in his hour of need would find forgiveness and find new life in Jesus and would be transformed by the Spirit of God and sent out into the world. And even those who opposed Jesus initially, like the Apostle Paul, would find their place also in and amongst the people of God. The small beginnings of the kingdom of God were growing, and before a generation passed, looking at the purple, it's by 185. From a tiny city in the Middle East, Jerusalem, suddenly the gospel went forth. Secular historians cannot explain the growth of the gospel from the tiny place. It was because God was moving in power and bringing about transformation. That tiny seed that began was bringing about transformation across the known world. The mustard seed of the kingdom was growing. The leaven was starting to transform society. And this morning, don't be discouraged at the smallness or the slower than expected growth. Keep holding on, knowing that seeds planted will bring about growth. Keep shining your light, knowing that yeast will transform the dough. Should we pray? Yeah, Father. Lord, there's times when we feel that we are small and insignificant in the world. There's times when we really feel in the minority, especially in workplaces, with friends. We can feel like, Lord, your kingdom seems so small in comparison to the world around us. But Lord, we thank you that you are at work. Thank you, Lord, that the yeast transforms the whole of the dough and you are at work in our world and you are bringing about change and transformation through believers. And Lord, I pray this morning that by your Spirit, would you just fill us afresh with faith that you will do some amazing things in our days. Lord, that you will bring about transformation, Lord, in communities, transformation in workplaces, transformation in social clubs, transformation with our friends, Lord. We ask, would you come and fill us with faith to keep holding on and to know that you are at work in the unseen. Lord, when we think sometimes things feel small, Lord, thank you that you said that it's like a mustard seed, that it will grow. And Lord, we thank you that we know that you are at work and that you are bringing about your purposes in this world. And we thank you that we get to be part of it. And Lord, we just pray that you would encourage us, empower and equip us by your Spirit. Send us out into the world, Lord. Will we have some great conversations with people this week? Would you give us a fresh vision for the places we go, Lord, to be that transformation, to be that change that we're looking to see? We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.